Hey, welcome to the pod. It's Jake, and I got Pat here too. Hey, Pat.
Hey Jake, how are you doing?
Good. So, trying to get the podcast re-going, renamed it, and you're my first guest during this quarantine podcast where it's going to be all over Skype and fun applications like that.
That sounds awesome.
Oh, yes, so awesome. So I guess right off the top, I don't want to go too much into the politics of it, but we should probably address COVID-19 and the reason we're all home. How's it going for you?
Weird. It's weird being home and working from home. It's a very weird routine because like get up, eat breakfast, and walk to the table that's 5 feet away and then sit there for the entire day. It's just never leaving the apartment.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, it is very weird, especially me, the wife, are working from home. We're keeping our 4-year-old home from daycare to limit the spread. We are using my parents for childcare 2 days a week, but outside of like the grocery and store and stuff, we run around the house, we run around outside, but it's been freezing. Today we took a nice walk.
Yeah.
Nessa went to my parents yesterday, and I did, I won't call it a run, but I did a mile and a half sprint. So I would sprint for a little bit, walk for a little bit. Took me about 30 minutes to do a mile and a half. That was nice. I just put on music and got out. But it is
That's
weird not being able to, like, you can go to parks, but I don't know if I want to. So much is shut down. A lot of the movies that were in theaters are now streaming, like we watched Onward on Disney Plus.
We did too.
Yeah, I loved it. It was
Did you?
very good.
Not a fan.
Really?
It's too sad, man. So the Pixar movies, I love the Pixar movies. They're great stories, but some of them are just so sad to watch sometimes. And that one was so tough to watch.
I don't think that one was as rough as 3 days into quarantine, or yeah, like the first Sunday when we were home. Nessa was taking a nap and I watched Coco. I bawled my eyes out at that movie. That movie was sad.
Was it? I haven't seen that one. Kayleen said that one's a great one.
It's great, but it's really sad at the end.
It
I was like tears
is.
rolling down my face at the end. I was like, this is so great. Like, yeah.
That the up is so
Oh,
sad.
the
That's
first 15 minutes of Up, I remember seeing
yes.
that in the theater and then being like, I'm a college kid crying at the Strand in Brockport right now because of this damn movie.
Seriously, they're great stories. They're absolutely awesome movies, but some I was not prepared. I thought that it was kind of like a cartoony one. I thought maybe it was going to be something like Wreck-It Ralph. I didn't know what I was getting myself into with
No,
Onward.
it was emotional. I liked it though. See,
Yeah.
maybe not having a brother made it not as emotional for me. Like, you've got brothers and all that, but
Yes.
you know, I don't think you've had to bring your dad back just legs to see him for a day.
No. No, yeah. And it's always the dad. Well, it's not always the dad, but it's the dad in a lot of them.
Yeah.
Like
Well, for
Lion
a
King.
while, it was like the mom. Like Finding Nemo, there were like all
Yeah.
these stories about the mom missing for a
It's
while.
true. Even Finding Nemo is super sad. It's oh
It
yeah.
is. Yeah.
They take really heavy topics, and turn them into very good movies. And you always think they're like children for children and stuff, but it's like a lot of life lessons and
No.
heavy subject matter are built into those movies.
Nessa didn't enjoy Onward at all.
No?
We had bought Emmy a new desk chair and gave her the box, and she played with her rocket ship, aka the box, most of the time while we were watching the movie. She's like, "Are
Oh
we
my
done
God.
with this?" And I was like, "Yeah, this is a little too much for you." We also
That's
watched
funny.
Inside Out with her. It's another pretty sad one.
I've seen that one. That is the emotions one, right?
Yeah, that was the emotions one.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, the classic one. Same thing, like, isn't that one about growing up? Isn't that the, and like Toy Story is about growing up. That one's sad because it's like you're seeing the childhood and
Yeah.
yeah.
So what else have you been up to?
So, well, don't leave the house too much. We've been doing, we're trying to do more exercise because one, I've been sitting around in the house, and even though I have a desk job, I feel like in the last month since we've been home, I feel like I'm sitting more and being less and less active.
Now that's interesting. I'm being more active now, but
More
it's
active?
also probably because I'm running around with a 4-year-old all day.
Yes.
Finally started cleaning my basement, and I've got my workout space cleared out. And I've picked up taking walks at least twice a week where I wasn't really being that active. Almost every day I've hit my step goal of
Nice.
7,500 steps, and I've actually been surpassing it quite a bit. Today I'm at, let's see, 11,000 for the day.
I don't think I'm averaging that many steps. I worked out today, and I did a mile and a half run. So I'm trying to build in workouts, but we were training for a half marathon that got canceled due to COVID.
Yeah.
So after it got canceled, I kind of stopped running and stopped doing the gym. And I feel like now I don't move too much. When I went to work, I would at least do like the, I would walk several blocks to work. I parked really far away. And then on lunch, I would normally go for a walk. And I just felt like I was moving a little bit more. Now it's wake up, 20 steps to the couch, 10 steps to the table, 20 steps back to bed. Like we have a 2-bedroom apartment and it's pretty small. It's
You
like we
gotta.
don't have stairs in here and we're one floor, 2 bedroom apartment. So yeah, I feel like my activity level has decreased.
You gotta adopt a daily commute. Get up, get out that door, walk around your apartment building once, walk back in the door, and then sit down at your desk. You've made your daily commute, end of the day, get up, walk around the building one time.
Get into a habit, get into
Get
that
him.
routine, keep mentally sharp.
Take
Yeah.
a shower every morning,
Oh, I
all
know.
that
See
stuff.
that all that stuff and like now I don't, it's not even like the process of like I don't shower every morning now. I shower after I work out and I'm not putting on like a suit. So it's not even like that morning ritual of like quick breakfast. So it's literally 20 steps, I eat breakfast, and I just walk to the computer and I'm in a t-shirt and gym shorts.
So, are the courts going to accept gym shorts as acceptable wear after all this? Because I don't know if I could ever stop just wearing sweats pretty much 24/7.
Did you? It was actually, it's funny, it made the news. There were a couple judges in Florida. There were local stories in Florida had to send out notices to attorneys that they still had to dress up. Apparently, people were doing conferences, attorneys were doing conferences from their bed, and some people were in like swimwear in Florida. So
So
they had.
here's my embarrassing video conference story. One of the early video conferences I did after we got our desks from IKEA, I moved back into the office, not being in the bedroom. And behind me are like all my old karate stuff, so my swords and all that stuff. But we also have the drying rack for our undryable clothes back there. So I'm doing a conference call and I look at my video and I'm like, pretty sure there's like some pants and stuff that I really don't want people to see in my video call. So I had to like mute my video, go move the drying rack. So there's that.
You gotta watch out now. I had a video conference last week and I had completely forgot about it and I thought it was canceled. I didn't really remember, and I was like, I just assumed it was canceled, and I got a message from someone who was in the meeting, and they're like, hey, are you jumping on? Like, and I'm running an event, so I'm like, I was like the main person who was supposed to be on this call. Yeah. And I'm sitting there, and my hair's really long and not done because I haven't had a haircut. I haven't shaved, and I just trimmed the neck, but I never have facial hair, and I haven't shaved in like 4 weeks.
You see, and this horrible mistake?
I see. What did you do?
So I was trimming yesterday. I meant to take a little bit off because it was getting to the point that it folds up and gets into my mouth, and the guard was an adjustable guard. Mm-hmm. So it didn't, like, it wasn't like a four. It was like set to a four. It slipped and it trimmed like this. And I was like, I can't leave a line in my beard shorter than everything else. So I had to trim it down, and I'm doing like everything I can think of to get it to grow fast. I'm beard oiling it. I'm taking my multivitamin. I'm like, I need my beard back. I can't deal with the scruff that I've got now.
This is the shortest I think I've seen it in a long time.
It's been probably 2 years since it was this short, and it was the exact same thing last time. The thing slipped, and I had to go down real low. So it's nice and short, and had Emmy cut my hair, so I got a fake mohawk, because why the hell not in quarantine? Yeah. You gotta be going crazy, though, in the two-bedroom apartment. Like, I feel like I don't have enough room in a 1,400-square-foot house.
No, it's a decent size, but, like, we don't use the... I'm in the second bedroom right now, actually, but I'm never in this, our guest bedroom. See, almost ever. I don't use that much space, so it is tiny.
That is interesting, because I never used to use our guest bedroom when we had a two-bedroom apartment. I think I'm going to get called, because Nessa is back up again. This is going to be a rough night.
9:30, what's her bedtime?
Yeah. Her bedtime's usually like 8:15 or so. If I don't have to step away, we'll keep going here. This will be an awkward area on the podcast.
That's what editing is for.
That is what editing's for. Yeah, and outside of that, I've been like reading books and watching some TV, Brooklyn Nine-Nine and stuff like that. I got FF7 Remake on the PS4, so I've been playing that. So
going into this, right, it's the feeling where I was like, I have so much time. I had 3 weeks where I wasn't working, so I did nothing for 3 weeks. And I was like, I never have 3 weeks of nothing to do. And I was like, I'm going to do all this stuff. I'm going to study this. I'm going to read this. And kind of did some stuff.
You did nothing.
I did some stuff. I finished one book.
Okay.
I just finished For Whom the Bell Tolls by Hemingway. So I'm now, within the last year, I've read four of Hemingway's books. And so I've read the biggest four that he's had. So I did that, but I have played a lot of video games. But also, I've been playing multiplayer with other people, so this is like my only social interaction, really. It's like you can't go hang out with people, so now I'm just playing a lot at night, when other people are on, and this is the only way, like, I'm talking to people and interacting with them.
Yeah, so my book selection's been quite different. A lot of the Star Wars comics have been free on Prime Reading, so I've been reading that.
Oh, nice.
And then I'm part of a book club, so I read a book called Frank Kisstein for book club. And now I'm reading book club's next Sunday, and I'm reading Invasive right now. I also picked up the 11 Nation American... What's the exact book? American Nations, the 11 Nations of America, which I'm trying to read. And then on Audible, I just grabbed Until the End of Time. So I'm trying to get those 20 books in by the end of 2020.
Is that your goal, 20 books?
Yeah, and I'm considering a graphic novel as a book, so it makes it a little bit easier. Audiobooks that I listen to are books, so I finished like 4 audiobooks this year already, so, you know, that brings it up quite a bit.
That helps. And see, that's what a goal. I should have done this already, but like going for walks or runs and listening to audiobooks. So do you do that or do you listen to music?
It depends. It really depends on how I'm feeling for the walk run. Sometimes it's music. Sometimes it's a podcast. Sometimes it's an audiobook. Mm-hmm. I used to listen to podcasts and audiobooks a lot while working, but I was realizing I wasn't paying attention to them. I would drone them out. Right. So I'm listening to music more when I work. And then, like, if I'm doing the dishes or something where I can drone out on the activity that I'm doing, I'll listen to an audiobook instead. But yeah, I'm aiming for the 20 books by end of 2020, and I think I'm sitting at 7 already.
Has quarantine increased your
books? It's actually decreased it because I used to listen to the audiobook on the commute in and from work. So I've lost like that hour and, you know, hanging out with Ness and running around with her. I'm not listening to audiobooks. I'm listening to more music with her.
Right.
So
you can't drone out the child.
No.
That's one of the things you have to pay attention.
No, Tuesday, Thursdays have become nice because it's one of the few days like I can actually like sit down and work for a solid chunk. Not that I'm not working, but it's a lot harder when you're split attention or split work duties with, you know, Emmy works for a little bit. Well, I watch Nash, as I get busier at work. She gets busier at work. It's been rough. So
it's nuts. I can't imagine that. I don't know how a lot of parents are doing it. Especially
if we had to homeschool her too.
How would you do that?
I have no idea. I know some teachers are doing Zoom calls with their classes.
Yeah.
I'm like, so that luckily we have a home computer, but that would mean each of us would have had to have a work laptop, which we do. But then we would have had to have a home computer for her to use.
Yep.
We would have had to have another desk, which we don't. We actually bought 2 desks from IKEA at the beginning of this. And
did
I
you get them shipped?
Yeah, we got them shipped.
Oh, nice.
I got a 3 monitor set up, including my laptop as one of the monitors, so I can work pretty well. I bought myself a nice Samsung curved monitor.
Nice.
Which I'm considered playing games on. Actually, one of the ways I've been playing FF7 some nights is remote play, where you can play the PS4 on your PC. Most times it works pretty well. As long as Emmy's not streaming anything at all while I'm playing, it works well. The minute she starts streaming anything, the video quality goes so far down that I can't do it.
Oh, okay.
So, and that's because I'm doing it over wireless, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know how some parents are doing it with a child who needs to go to school, or children. It's like, what if you have 2 to 4 children? Like, not everyone can be on the computer at the same time. Like,
I mean, I luck out. We have green light, so, you know, we've got insane internet speeds. But the first few weeks we were home, if I was on a video call and it lasted longer than 45 minutes, our old router would overheat and completely turn off.
Really?
So I actually ended up having to buy a new router, and after doing a ton of research, I pretty much ended up with the exact same router that I had, just a model.
A newer model.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I was literally sitting here on a video call, and I just watched all the lights go off on the router. And for like 2 minutes, it overheated.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's been, I feel like I'm finally kind of getting adjusted to this.
Yeah.
But it's weird, and I know that we're never going back to the normal that was now almost 8 weeks ago. It was almost 2 months ago now.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's right. It's going to be the new normal. That's what everyone's talking about. The new normal. We have to reimagine.
I don't know what the new normal looks like.
I don't know. Working from home, they've realized that when forced to do it, that a lot of people can work from home. I don't know. Like, I had always joked before this happened, I was like, I can absolutely do my job from home, or I could do my job from anywhere as long as I had an internet connection. But if now I'm wondering, if I had the option, would I want that, or I kind of want the flexibility of being able to work from home, but I also kind of want to be have an office to go to and be in like work mode.
I wouldn't mind like 1 or 2 days a week in the office, 3 days from home. Mm-hmm. And then when I go into the office, I don't actually have an assigned desk at the office. There's just desks with computer docks. You go sit at a desk, dock your computer there, and you work from the office that day. That's if you have a meeting that you need to be in the office for, you're in the office for it.
I think a lot of companies should look into that. I do like the docking a computer. Do you have a docking computer? Like, you bring your laptop home and then you can dock in at work? Or no?
Yeah, so I brought my dock home knowing that the office was closing. But normally I can, you know, bring my laptop home. I can plug in at least an extra monitor. And then when I'm at work, I dock in.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I think it will be interesting to see if businesses try to reduce office space. Because that's an expense.
It's a high expense.
Huge overhead.
Yeah, if you cannot waste it, why not?
Exactly. If you can cut those costs. See, and that's a whole nother thing, because then you're going to hit the commercial real estate. Even if some businesses start doing this, then the commercial real estate market is going to kind of contract. And then you might have areas of cities or towns where they lose that strip mall or whatever, that small office park is no longer.
The oil market's going to go negative because no one's using oil?
It costs more to store a barrel. That's the craziest thing. They're full. It's weird to be like, we have no place to store it.
I barely get gas now.
Warehouses are full. Tankers, full. We have so much gas. No one's driving.
I'm driving because on days when Nessa doesn't take a nap, I'll put her in the car to get her to fall asleep. But, I'm one of the only people on the road when that happens.
I drove today and I drove to Wegmans. But I've been driving like once or twice a week, which is crazy because I would drive. Every single day.
Great for my lease mileage. Yeah, it's absolutely amazing for my lease mileage.
Did you see, Ian, some car insurance companies are refunding part of the premium of your car insurance because your mileage is going down so much. So you don't.
Oh my God.
Them. Yeah. So even some of the big ones, I know Allstate were in the news, and I think several other ones were refunding part of your premium because no one is driving.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, driving today, there were almost no cars. Downtown, there was a few, but there was very little cars it was a morning, it should have been morning rush hour, right before 9. And there was nothing.
Barely anything.
It
is very, very weird.
Yeah.
All right. So, we've covered what we're up to, COVID. Yep. I think the next thing I had down as our topic of the week was Star Wars versus Lord of the Rings, since you're a Lord of the Rings guy and I'm more of a Star Wars guy.
Yes.
I don't think there'll be a winner, but maybe, we can come down to what makes each of them great for their own reasons. I can tell you that of my books, four of them now this year have been Star Wars books.
Right.
I've done the whole new Thrawn trilogy and the audiobook for Episode 9. So I think my favorite thing about Star Wars is that it has such a vast, expanded universe.
So here's my question. I've never read the books for Star Wars. Is it... How many authors write them? Because aren't there a number
of authors, right? Yes. There's probably... So if you're talking about all of Star Wars, and I've never got into what's called the Legends, which was the old expanded universe before Disney took over.
Okay.
We're talking probably 20-plus writers. I think since Disney's taken over and reestablished what is considered canon, maybe a dozen writers.
Was it movies? Who wrote the books first? Was it movies or books first?
So it was movies first. It was episode 4, 5, and 6.
So who wrote that script? Was that George Lucas?
That was George Lucas.
So he's the original creator.
Yes. Yeah. And then from there, the expanded universe started. Then he made episode 1, 2, and 3. Then Disney bought them. And they started, before Disney bought them, they started doing some expanded universe stuff that is considered. There's Star Wars, Clone Wars, Rebels, some of the cartoons. Then we got 7, 8, and 9, which, to be light, were messy. They didn't have a single vision through the entire story. But then we got some of the great expanded universe stuff. There was Master and Apprentice, which is Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan's backstory. I think Claudia Gray wrote that. We got Dooku Jedi Lost. We got the Aftermath trilogy by Chuck Wendig. I don't know how to say his last name. The Thrawn. So Thrawn was brought in Legends and then reestablished in canon expanded universe. And then the next phase of Star Wars, the High Republic, right now is planned to only be done through books, comics, novels, things like that. So I think what I like about Star Wars is its vast expanded world.
Huge. That's very interesting because do you know how they determine who is licensed to take stories? So is it like, I guess maybe it's Disney now, but like pre-Disney, was it like Lucas? Did he start writing the books or was...
I don't think it was him writing the books. It might have been fan fiction. But Lucas had his studio, so I think he started saying like, this is canon, this isn't canon, and I know there's a lot of controversy because there were certain things that were hinted to in Star Wars, like the Clone Wars, but then Lucas didn't tell anyone what they are. So there's books that are in the expanded universe that try to guess what the Clone Wars were, and then Lucas comes out and actually does what the Clone Wars are. So
that's very interesting. Yeah, and expansive. Yeah, having like 20 different authors or multiple different authors running multiple stories at the same time. That's a ton.
Yeah, I think it's gotten easier under Disney because Disney, I want to say Disney holds the IP tight, but then we see how the movies turned out, that they kind of let that fall off the rails. So Disney does a pretty good job though, because we got The Mandalorian, we got the new season of Clone Wars, we got apparently an Obi-Wan show coming. I thought Solo was a good movie, and that was done under Disney, so.
I've seen rumors about the Obi-Wan. Aren't they trying to, I know Reddit, I follow some of the Reddit, I see them, the prequel memes and all those different subreddits where they're obsessed with the actor who played Obi-Wan in, he played 1, 2, 3. I can't remember.
Ewan McGregor.
Yes. Is he coming back to continue his role?
That is what they're saying.
That is like what Reddit is obsessed with right now.
I mean, it's perfect. It's been 10 plus years. He'll be aged, but not aged enough to be Obi-Wan in A New Hope. It's perfect.
He'll be the perfect age. He'll just don't have to do anything. Just so, what the rumor is, what, Obi-Wan on Disney Plus?
Yeah, on Disney Plus. I don't even think it's a rumor. I think it's confirmed at this point, but it's like it's delayed in coming out or something.
Oh yeah, everything's delayed now. So, are all Star Wars movies on Disney Plus right now?
Maybe.
Maybe, okay.
There were a couple that I think they were waiting to reclaim the rights on. I can tell you 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3 are on there. I believe 7 is, and Rogue One, but I don't know about Solo. 8 and 9 is still too new to be on there.
Right, because some of them Netflix had.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. I haven't seen the movies in a little while. I'm going to have to brush up on my Star Wars.
That's going to be the Lord of the Rings for me. I have not seen those movies since, I don't remember when.
I hadn't seen them in forever. But earlier this year, we were sick. So we had like a weekend in, and we watched Fellowship in that weekend, and we watched half of the Two Towers. I have the extended edition, so these are 4-hour movie investment. And once quarantine started, we went back and we rewatched Two Towers. So now, Return of the King, and I'm trying to get Kayleen to watch that. Maybe this weekend is that was my favorite, and Lord of the Rings is my go-to, because that is growing up as young teenager. Those are the books I read, and my mom actually made us read the books before we saw the movies. So I had seen, like, as a younger kid, Return of the King was a cartoon movie first. I don't know. Have you ever seen the cartoon?
I don't think so.
It was made a long, long time ago. It was made before the movies were out. So I had seen the cartoon version of that movie, and it almost doesn't make sense because it starts at Return of the King.
Yeah, that's weird.
It comes and in at the end.
Isn't Amazon doing a TV series of Lord of the Rings?
I believe they are. They just did, I think they did a Tolkien, there was Tolkien movie, and I think that's right now on HBO, and I think Amazon did either a miniseries or did something on Tolkien, and Amazon, I don't think it's a rumor, I think they're actually shooting, if not shot, like past tense shot. They might have already filmed. They are doing a TV series. But I haven't heard, I haven't looked into it. I have heard that they did it or they are doing it, but I don't know what parts they are, because there are more things. There aren't 20 different authors writing multiple different. But Tolkien did have other parts to his universe, other books. I've only read The Hobbit and then the trilogy.
And then what? Silmarillion.
That was the next one. Yeah, Silmarillion is the next most popular one, and I can't remember if I read it or not. If I did, it was so long ago, I don't remember it. But then Tolkien's son
did a book, right?
Christopher Tolkien. I think he did a book, if not a couple books, where Tolkien left behind a lot of material. So I think his son wrote for years and picked up and added a lot of content.
Yeah, see, those are books I've never read, and I probably should.
You've never read the trilogy?
No.
Really?
Never read the Lord of the Rings. I watched the movies. And I mean, you got to give Lord of the Rings credit for what it is. It inspired the fantasy we see today. I mean, without Lord of the Rings, there probably would be no Star Wars. There wouldn't be D&D. There would be no Game of Thrones.
It took that whole fantasy genre and it took it pretty mainstream in a big way.
Yeah, it really changed things up. But it's one of those series I've never picked up, and I've tried to go back and read some of the classics of sci-fi fantasy. Like last year I read Dune, and it was a hard read. Like, he created a lot of words for it. At some points the story felt too slow. At other times the story felt too fast. Overall, I enjoyed it. But I'm worried, like, the Lord of the Rings is going to be that same thing, because I hear it's that in-depth world building, so there's going to be points where they're, like, moving real slow to try to get you from point A to point B.
Yes. No, that's completely accurate. And I read these books now probably over a decade ago, so I've actually been thinking I should go back and reread them. But, yes, they are slow moving. He is super detailed, and he describing a lot of the nature scenes. Everything gets an in-depth detail. He has songs. He does a lot. He has a lot of songs. He created his own language.
That's true.
He has his own language.
I tried to do the audiobooks for him, I'll be honest, and I'm going to have to bring in Star Wars here a little bit. So what I love about the Star Wars audiobooks is their production. They have music. They have not voice actors, but the voice actor does different voices for the characters. Mm-hmm. They have, you know, if they're in space and they're on a spaceship, you hear like feet walking in the background. But you can always hear the story of the book that is going on. My problem with The Lord of the Rings is I started listening to the very first one, and it's when Gandalf visits Frodo, and he brings all these people over to Frodo's house with him at the very beginning of the book. Yep. And they overproduced it to the point you can barely hear Frodo and Gandalf's conversation because of all the voices chattering in the background. And I'm like, I don't mind the background noise, but I'm listening to the book to hear the book. I don't want to be struggling to listen to the book. Yeah, and the voice actor also did these like heavy, extravagant accents. And I'm like, little much here. Little much.
Yeah. No, so, you got to get a different version.
Yeah. Which I think the problem with The Lord of the Rings is there haven't been really many versions of the audiobook.
It's an investment to do the trilogy. I mean, you could. The Hobbit was pretty short, and that was supposed to be a children's book. So that would probably be a much easier read.
Yeah, so I'm doing the Witcher books through Audible. So there's another series that probably wouldn't have existed without The Hobbit. The Hobbit really inspired the fantasy of modern times.
Is The Witcher now this is the same Witcher that is the Netflix new popular series?
Yes, and the video game series.
And the video game. So I remember the video game.
Yes.
I don't think I ever played it, but I have seen it a lot. Which came first? The books.
So the books came, then the video game producers bought the rights to the story.
Okay.
The video games are what made it really popular. And then the Netflix series came.
So is the video game like based on the books. Okay. Is there only one? Or there's so a couple,
there's,
right?
There's, like, there's three. I've only played three. And from what I understand, the video games take place after the books.
Oh, okay.
And the TV series is a relatively faithful adaptation of the books. It's not as faithful as, like, Game of Thrones season one was to book one of Game of Thrones, but all of the story elements from the TV series come from the books. They just are potentially modified a little bit to weave a more film-worthy story.
Right. They'll probably quicken a little fast pace. Well, that's interesting. So where are you? Are you just starting the, even like the first book?
So yeah, I've got the short story book and then book one.
Okay.
But right
are
now,
they all on Audible?
Yeah, they're all on Audible.
Are you having the monthly subscription to Audible?
So Christmas time, they were doing a special deal for $100. You got a full year's worth of credits. 12 credits for $100, which is normally $150 or something.
Okay.
So I did that, and they gave you all 12 credits up front. So it is now April, and I have 5 credits left for the entire year.
That is cool. That's a good resource to have. I've tried Libby. Have you ever done Libby?
Yep.
But a lot of this stuff, especially now, it's tough to check out.
That's where I got Lord of the Rings, the audiobook from, was from Libby. Go ahead.
Well, I like the app. It's just sometimes some of the weights. So everyone's got a hold on it.
That's actually, Libby was how I got into the Star Wars books. I read Chuck Wendig's Aftermath trilogy through Libby, and that was the first set of outside of the movies and some of the comics that I did. But the most recent book I grabbed on Audible was from an interview, and it's that Brian Greene's Until the End of Time. He's a scientist, and it's Mind, Matter, and Our Search for Meaning in an Evolving Universe. It's pretty interesting so far.
So have you, then that's nonfiction. You've been balancing your nonfiction with your fiction?
Yeah, so of this year, of the 6-7 credits I've spent, 5 have been fiction, 2 have been nonfiction. I got that one, and then I got the Philosopher's Toolkit from The Great Courses, because they have all the Great Courses content on there, too. So one of the audiobooks I got back when I had Audible back a while ago was, it's 37 hours long, and it's a great course on mythology. But then one of my favorite audiobooks I have on here, that George R.R. Martin book I let you borrow, Dreamscape, it's a 2-part book. They merged both into a single audiobook unabridged. It's like 42 hours or something with all the short stories in it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So.
I'm reading more fiction at night before bed. I was trying to read nonfiction, and I had a couple books, and I felt like I would be rereading the nonfiction ones. I had one. Who's the author? I really like him now. Now I'm blanking on his name. He wrote Blank. He's the guy who used to work for the Washington Post. He writes all these like little like pop culture, like science, a blend of pop culture and science. Oh, Malcolm Gladwell.
Oh, okay. Yep, I know.
Yeah. So he used to be like the write small little science articles for a Washington Post. Then he expanded that into books. He takes like scientific ideas and puts them into books. Some get criticized for oversimplifying stuff, but Blank is about how people make decisions and how the decisions are made in the blink of an eye. So like you're quick, you make your decisions, you size people up without even thinking, like how does the brain process, stuff like that. But I was reading the same pages over and over. I'm trying to learn this new content. And I was like, oh, I'm not following that. So I would reread the same chapters, and I just put down my nonfiction. And I've been making much better progress in with fiction. The story is like keeping me in it. So I've been struggling on my nonfiction recently.
So nonfiction, I found the key to me was highlighting while I read. When I was doing physical books on Audible, it's the same thing. You can highlight. But I did Joseph Campbell's Age of Myth that way. I did Adam Grant's Originals that way. Simon Sinek's Start With Why. I also have Simon Sinek's Infinite Game up on my stack of books to be read. I have The Secret Teachings for All Ages by Manly P. Hall, which is a semi-conspiracy nonfiction book that I've been reading. For my birthday, Emmy got me the new Stephen King book, so I've got stacks of books. Like, I probably shouldn't be buying books still.
I'm in the same boat. So we, in the last year, we've been hitting out. Every time there's a book sale, I drag Kayleen to it. We just went to Pittsburgh Library had one. Brighton Library just had one. It was very actually convenient for being quarantined, because in the last couple of months, I've gone to multiple book sales, and I've picked up tons of books for just a couple bucks. All these great books, like 50 cents. And I'm like, there's no way. But I look constantly for new books, even though I have a bookshelf that I am making a good dent in my reading with now quarantine going on. But I'm like, I have no business at all to be looking at other books. There's no reason I should be shopping around for these books.
So when I was in Austin, like a month before quarantine happened, we wound up at this bookstore. I think it was called South Street Books or something, South Congress Books, and it was a used bookstore. And they had really, really nice used books. And I ended up in the philosophy and mysticism section, because the sections were a little weird. And they had a book, and it was like, The History of Freemasons for Freemasons. I was like, this looks interesting. And it was a really nicely bound book from like 1960. And like on every page, there was a stamp from the library of this Masonic lodge. I forget which lodge it was. And it's like, oh my God, I want this book. I would probably never read it, but it's beautiful. It's right. An amazing looking book. I turned to the page, $35. Oh my God, I want this book. And Emmy's right next to me. And she goes, you don't need it. Put it back. So I start looking through the other books, and she goes, you don't need any used books in here. Are you going to read them? I'm like, no, but they're all so beautiful. I would display it.
Maybe. Eventually, I'd
put it on the stack. You know, it would be getting... I think that's part of the reason I've started to grow to, like, Kindle, is, like, literally, as long as you have your phone on you and the book downloaded, you can read it anywhere. Like, yeah. I like the feel of physical... Yeah. But I like the ease of Kindle.
That's true. I'm a big fan of the physical book, but there is a lot. I have a Kindle, and I also use Libby and Kindle on my phone. So I don't know. A lot of times I just like being like in reading mode with the book, though. I feel like a lot of times with my phone, I will get distracted. That is what kills me. I will get distracted because I will start reading for a little bit, and then a text, a notification, a message, something happens where I just get distracted.
Yeah, it's really difficult when you're trying to read a book and you're on the first line and a message comes up. Snapchat from Brendan Levy. Then 30 seconds later, Snapchat from Pat Levy, and I open them both, and they're reply chugs, and I'm like, I don't need these right now.
Next, did you get if Brendan sends out a green smoothie?
Oh, every morning.
Five.
It's the radio on in the background, him drinking the smoothie, and then like, it could be the temperature for the day or a good morning sign. I've tried to get unique with my Snapchats at this point, because why the hell not?
I've been doing a lot of food recently because
it's looked pretty good.
Thank you. And that's like the highlight, and that is one of my hobbies, I guess. We're trying to do more things. I mean, there's not much else to do, and when I want to stop working or step away from the electronics, electronics take up too much time. But if they're not reading, cooking has been a good one. So I have been doing a lot more cooking.
All right. So before we wander into the final segment, I'm going to take a second to go off cooking and just complain for a second about quarantine and one thing. I think I'm in hell when it comes to the dishes. It seems like every time I do them, I turn my back from the sink and it is now suddenly filled back up with dishes again. And it's a never-ending loop. And I'm like, oh, sweet. I got the dishes done. The dishwasher's running. I'll empty it. It's been 5 minutes. How the fuck is the sink filled again? I just did this. Like, I looked at the sink before coming down because I didn't do the dishes after dinner tonight because I was being lazy. And just went, why? Why do I keep doing this every day? If they just keep coming back. I'm pretty sure this is a hell loop at this point.
We are in the same. I don't know how we use. We have two people. Me and Kim, two. And tonight, when I went to get dinner, every single plate we had was dirty. We have two sets, so it's like 8 of the large plates and 8 of the smaller plates. We had 16 dirty, and they were all in the dishwasher. So I had to run that tonight. But it's just like, how did we use all these? There's no every way. Day there's someone else here who's using my dishes.
Every day I run the dishwasher. Every day, at least once, I do the dishes, sometimes twice. I've learned how much clothes my daughter wears during a day just based on the laundry basket. It goes, hers is the most amount I need to fold, followed by mine, because I'm a sweaty monster sometimes, followed by Emmy. And I looked at Emmy one time and went, should we just stop having Nessa wear clothes? Like, I don't want to fold these anymore. Like, it's like I fold a basket and I'm literally at the point now where I'm like, okay, I'm going to take Nessa's clothes and create a separate pile because I want to feel accomplished with something. And I can feel accomplished if I fold everyone but Nessa's clothes and not do the socks. I hate doing socks.
Laundry in general is one of my least favorite chores. I would pick so much more over laundry. And I have no logical reason why. Laundry to me is, and folding is where that is the thing that gets me. I just don't like it. And I have an ironing. I iron a lot of my dress shirts. And it just, I have a whole stack of dress shirts that, sometimes I'll get dry cleaned, but I ran them through the wash because no dry cleaning now.
Yeah.
And I have a whole stack to iron, and I haven't done it. And I haven't worn any of them in like 3 or 4 weeks since I have been to work. So there's no reason that they're not ironed. They're just sitting on my ironing board. They should be ironed and in the closet hanging, but can't stand laundry.
I'm the one who does the laundry because the basement's scary thanks to Home Alone. You know, so I come down, I do the laundry, I bring it upstairs, and I'll finish with this, and then we'll move on, I promise, to the next segment. I have two types of socks. I have my short socks, which all of them are the same. I've taken the pairs that don't match, and I've thrown them in the trash. And I have my long socks, which all of them are the same. I have a couple special funky socks. Emmy got me Baby Yoda socks for my birthday. I have the American flag socks from your wedding.
Yep.
And I have a couple pairs of dress socks in case I ever need them. They sit in the back corner of the drawer. You know, really only two pairs of socks. Emmy's got 7 to 10 different types of socks, and some of them look similar, and I have to look at the word Hanes to see if it's pink or green to match them. It gets a little bit annoying. Nessa, I hate whoever makes kid socks. They do not make a pair of kid socks where you get 6 pairs of the same exact sock. No, you get a pair of frozen, you get a pack of frozen socks. One's Olaf, one's Elsa, one's Anna, one's Sven. One says let it go, and the other one says make it snow. And it's six different types of socks. So it's like one of those matching games when you're folding socks. You're laying them out and you're going, oh shit, there's a match. Yay, I got a match on socks. It's horrible.
That is a nightmare.
It's absolutely horrible.
I have a couple different pairs of socks, but generally I do what you did. I went out one like Black Friday and socks were on sale, and I bought like, I think it was 40 pairs of the same exact socks, the short socks, and that's just what I wear. I'm just
like, I have my and one short both. Socks, and I have my, I think they're Dickies long socks for the winter. You know, two pairs of socks.
That is the only way to do it.
Why anyone needs more than two types of socks.
Okay,
you have a couple special occasion socks, but...
You're just going to have to tell NASA, no more frozen socks. You have black socks or white socks. You get two-color socks.
It's my mom. Oh. She buys these socks, and it's like a 36-pack, and all 36 types are different. And I just have to shake my head. Like, of course, because you don't have to fold these socks. All right. That was my rant about dishes and socks. People now are no longer tuning into the podcast because we started with Lord of the Rings and Star Wars, drifted way off into books, didn't get that far with it, and ended up on socks and dishes. So, you know, I think this is the perfect time to veer a far left into conspiracy corner. I'm going to try to do this as a segment. Bring a conspiracy to the podcast to talk about. I don't really, I like conspiracies. I'd love to believe in them, but I don't normally.
Okay.
But this one, I think, has some legs to it. And it's the concept of antediluvian life. The time before creation and the flood myth, was there a civilization before we accept it? So most anthropologists accept that civilized humanity is about 9,000 years old or so. Before that, we weren't really living in towns and villages. We were more nomadic. That's when we started to form towns, villages, Mesopotamia, things like that.
Yeah.
But now there's people that are saying, no, we're older than that. You know, humans go back 40,000 years with civilization. Graham Hancock is one of them. He's been on Joe Rogan's show. I actually listened to one of his books on Audible about how old the world potentially could be. But taint this with one side. I also listened to a podcast recently. I'm trying to pull up their name because I forgot to write it down. It's called, I think, The Mad Science Show, The Mad Scientist Podcast, and they had Professor David S. Anderson. He talked about pseudo-archaeology, which this is considered. So if you want the two views, you've got Graham Hancock and David S. Anderson, which is the more traditional view. But, you know, I've played the Assassin's Creed games, so, you know, that's tainting my view probably, but I think I'd love to believe that human civilization had a time before. I'm not saying we had the internet and electricity and stuff, but it seems like there could have been civilized culture before we accept it. So what are your thoughts? Did you look at any of the stuff I sent you?
I did. I read the Wikipedia page on it and discussing the time frames and times before the flooding. I don't know. Wouldn't we have found anything? I didn't watch the YouTube video, so maybe I'm missing out. But if there was a civilization, and I think it's not just a basic civilization, it was the higher forms of civilization, wouldn't we have found something more than what we've already found, or no? Is it
all right? You ready? I'm gonna go full conspiracy here, full okay. on Alex Jones conspiracy. All right, I can't keep the voice up. Yeah, probably. You want me to be realistic? We would have probably found something. Conspiracy, pseudoscience idea behind it. Maybe not. You know, I think about it, and I'm like, well, we found proof of fucking dinosaurs, and they're way older. We can't find proof that human civilization is older than 9,000 years old. We can't find this. But then I think about it, and I'm like, all right, so the dinosaurs died because the meteor hit. And if you listen to... I think it was Radiolab. No. It might have been Radiolab. Don't quote me on that. They did a really interesting episode on how the dinosaurs died. And there's this new theory that when the meteor hit Earth, it, like, impacted really deep and threw so much dust up into the air that the atmosphere hit, like, 600 degrees. And pretty much all the dinosaurs died within, like, 7 hours because they were microwaved alive. And then the dust settled on top of them, which created the fossils. So it was this special situation that kind of helped create the fossils. And then I go, I walk downtown. I work downtown. And sometimes I walk over the bridge to the Genesee Brew House. And if you're looking over the old RG&E factory, there's columns that totally at one point held a bridge or something. Maybe, I don't know, 50, 100 years ago in Rochester. And I'm going, shit, that was 50 or 100 years ago, and we don't know what those columns are. You know, we don't know shit from 300 years ago at all. You're asking me to believe we know stuff from 9,000 years ago when people knock down a wall in their house in Italy and find an old Roman bathhouse behind it. You know, who's to say that maybe the Sphinx isn't older than 8,000 years right. older, however old the Sphinx is. Maybe the proof's there, we just don't realize it. And I'm not stretching out saying human civilization is 50,000, 100,000 years old. I'm talking an extra 3,000-4,000 years. You know, we had enough time where we formed another civilization before this. And I think proof to that is Cleopatra was born closer to the release of the iPhone than to the first Egyptian dynasty.
Yep, I've seen that. Yeah, then the pyramids.
Yeah, or the pyramids or something.
Yeah, to the pyramids. Okay, so here, interesting little tidbit. So my support your ideas of we still don't know everything, which is true. So I was watching, there's this series on Netflix, it's called, I think it's called God or Finding God. It's the one that Morgan Freeman is in, of course. So it's like, who better to trace our beliefs in God than Hollywood's God? In the first episode, they were discussing the Aztecs. So they were going back to civilizations in looking at what civilizations taught about death, and they had talked about the Egyptians and what Egyptians believed in death, and then they were talking about the ancient Aztec civilization. But one of the interesting things they were talking about was human sacrifice, and they said for hundreds of years it's been written and everyone's known and accepted that Aztecs were heavily involved in human sacrifice, and we know this in our history books because it was reported by the conquistadors who sent back to Europe, and those are the people who've written the history books, that this is what they saw. They saw hundreds of people being sacrificed, and for hundreds of years they didn't have proof, and they couldn't find huge burial sites. And I think they said it was 40 years ago. It was a short time ago where one of their huge temples that they had dug around, it was still in the middle of a city. So they hadn't fully explored everywhere. And just recently, they found under these old houses, walls built from human skulls. Damn. So this is where they in the episode, it was a National Geographic TV show. So they're saying that, look, we've always learned that Aztecs were into human sacrifice, but that was reported by the conquistadors, you know, is that the most reliable source? But then they actually found stuff, and that was where we were documenting history. We were at the point where we were writing history at that point. It was only like, what, 400 years ago, 500 years ago, where now we're like, I don't know about that. So, like, just think about thousands of years ago.
And, I mean, there's a very interesting article in National Geographic 2 or 3 months ago about digging Jerusalem out. It was only 50, 60 years ago that they found the Nag Hammurabi library, the Gnostic Gospels hidden in crates or vases. I mean, like, we've lost more than we remember. The Library of Alexandria was destroyed. There's these flood myths everywhere. I guess I want to believe that there was something before, and I don't know why I want to believe it, but I, like, it makes me interested. And, you know, there's these stories of giants and dragons, and you would think we would have found this stuff, but maybe it existed at some point. It's crazy to think it did. What would have destroyed it without leaving any evidence of it? It's hard to say, you know, for sure. And I'm not adopting any ancient aliens thing. Like, I don't think an alien came down and helped us build the pyramid. I think humans or some other Homo did this. You know, it might not have been Homo sapiens, but it could have been the one before us. I mean, I could do a whole nother thing about how, you know, conspiracy theory Noah's Ark is the story of a civilized culture moving from Mars to Earth, and the Ark was actually a spaceship. You know, that's a whole different level of conspiracy that I don't actually buy, but I find interesting.
Aliens, man.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I believe there's life on other planets. Are any of those civilized and advanced enough to visit Earth? Probably not. Are any of them even in our solar system? Probably not. But they're, with the vastness of the universe, there has to be life somewhere else. But we, I think, just recently broke a probe out of our own solar system. And we've only been at this for 50, 60 years. The chances that there's another civilization so close that they could travel here, nearly impossible. It would have to be local travel. Different conspiracy, different episode. But I guess I just want to believe, from like a pure fantasy point, that, you know, we're human version 2.0. We're civilization 2.0.
Oh, man, if we're 2.0, I don't even want to know who is 1.0.
1.0 got wiped out by COVID -19, you know, because it was in BC, so BCE.
Yeah, COVID BC.
I mean, they're talking about the fact that the permafrost is on freezing and ancient viruses could be hidden in the permafrost.
I'm not going into
the conspiracy theories that Antarctica's Atlantis and there's a civilization, a city hidden under all that ice. I'm just saying maybe civilization is older than we realize.
We are constantly finding new things.
Okay, this is going to go into Graham Hancock, and I'm trying to stay in the middle here. So I'll say, you know, go out, listen to the podcast I recommended earlier, because I want you to have a balanced view that is not just me going out on conspiracies. So go listen to Pseudo Archaeology with David S. Anderson from the Mad Scientist podcast. But I will say, Graham Hancock, you know, sometimes posts stuff, and he just says shit keeps getting older. We keep finding things that are older and older. So we obviously have lost a lot of history.
For sure. No doubt.
All right. Any last thoughts on the conspiracy corner?
No, but it's been a good, I feel like it's been an overall good podcast. We had many different subjects and we touched on so much.
We did. You got to hear a lot about my hatred of laundry and dishes. I think I might have gone on too far there. Stay safe. Like, I know we're all locked up. Even if we don't record it, we should probably do some more video calls just to hang out and maybe do a digital board game night. I heard Jack in the Box is pretty good for that.
Yes, definitely. You gotta do stuff like this to mental health, man.
Yeah, mental health. Mental health. Focus on that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go work after I'm done with this for a little bit more. Probably got an extra half hour to 45 minutes of work to do tonight, and then I'm gonna sleep. And I gotta finish out the last 70 pages of book club before Sunday. But it's been really nice talking to you.
Been good podcast.
All right. So one last thing. I always try to end it with a quote. I want to keep it positive this time. So if you grew up in Rochester and watched WXXI on Saturday nights in the 90s, you might know a little show called Red Green. And I'm going to give you a little quote from the great Red Green himself. Remember, I'm pulling for you. We're all in this together. Good night, everyone.